sticking with robots now, a key feature of making robots that we can interact with is actually making them some way intelligent. And our next guest is Professor Nigel Shadbolt. We met him at the BA Festival when we were in York recently, and we were talking about free-thinking machines and murderous intellects, and he's with us now to fill us in. Hi, Nigel.
Hi, Chris.
So should we be scared of robots then?
Well, the problem is that, of course, when we look at our film portrayal of robots, they're invariably murderous intellects. And up to no good. That's the kind of popular image of robots and artificial intelligence. And in fact, somebody once defined AI as the art of making computers behave like the ones in the movies. But actually, it isn't anything quite as malign or as bad as that.
What actually is artificial intelligence?
So artificial intelligence is a branch of study where you're trying to understand the nature of intelligence by building computer programs, trying to build adaptive software systems, trying to take hard problems about the way in which humans and other animals see and understand the world and build computers capable of replicating some of that behavior.
So basically you're trying to capture the workings of the human brain in a computer program.
Well, that's certainly one of the ambitions, although many people working in the area would say, look, there are lots of ways of being smart that aren't smart like us. So, in fact, we would be happy to build systems that display adaptivity, but perhaps aren't necessarily based on the exact way that humans operate.
So what are you trying to do to try and create programs that can do this?
Well, in fact, the history of AI is a very interesting one. If we look at, again, if we look perhaps at the film portrayal, one of the earliest and most famous computers, AI computers, was HAL. HAL was the robot in 2001. That was a film made in 1968.
It shot someone out of a space station, didn't it?
Absolutely. Well, it had a space station. I haven't quite got that. Well, we've got a space hotel. It had us going to sleep in cryogenesis. We haven't got that either. So, you know, predicting the future can be a bit dodgy. And HAL was aware. He was reflective. And he turned into a murderous, paranoid killer in the end. But the bit that the film got right was the chess playing. In fact, AI's chess programs beat the world champion back in 1997. In fact, at the time that happened, people said this is a crisis for the species. But actually what it showed us was that huge increases in computing power plus a little knowledge and insight can really tackle very challenging programs and problems indeed.
So what are the big things that people are working on now, people are trying to crack in order to develop better robots?
Well, in fact, in AI in general, with this brute force approach with the amount of computing power, we can do a whole range of things. In fact, AI is kind of everywhere but not recognized as such. It's in your car engine, your engine management system. There are rule-based systems thinking about whether your engine's running properly, in your washing machines getting the spin cycle right, translating languages in your Google search.
So this is machines actually
AI.
Sorry, I was just going to say, Nigel, so this is machines actually watching what's happening and reacting to what's changing and learning from their experiences so they do
That's
the right
exactly
thing in its time.
Exactly right. But of course, it doesn't accord with our kind of popular image of AI. But this is much more, the AI I call this is assistive intelligence. It's there supporting us in particular tasks. What we haven't got are these general purpose robots able to reflect across a whole range of problems. And in fact, the person who was talking about the semantic vision robot challenge was making exactly that point. It's hard to build programs that operate routinely across many, many problem areas.
So do you, when you're creating robots, though, always engineer an off switch so that there's no danger of these things running amok and taking over the world, which is what people are most frightened about?
Well, indeed, if you look at the kind of commercialization of robotics, there's a company in the States, iRobot, that manufactures simple house cleaning robots. It'll trundle around, particularly good in big open American homes, trundle around hoovering up the debris or cleaning the bottom of the pool. But really, that's a composition of some simple behaviors. It avoids colliding with objects. It can kind of more or less build a simple map of its environment. The question is, of course, when you take that same technology and put it into a weapons platform or into some of the more military contexts, you would want human control. And this is exactly what we see in modern deployments of robots in the battlefield. And making sure that we, the human designers, understand the ethical implications and actually how we build override and safety into these systems is a hugely important question.
And just to finish off, Nigel, how far are we away from having a system where I could have a conversation with a robot, or I even could be a robot making this program and no one would know?
Well, this is a famous Turing test. Alan Turing, a great computer scientist, actually helped crack the codes in the Second World War using computing techniques. he was hugely interested in AI, and he said that if we ever got to that stage, effectively, we'd have built an artificial intelligence. But there are many situations where programs can do a good job of emulating a human, but not across the whole range of behavior. And the great thing, of course, about human beings is we're able to anticipate the unexpected, the kind of snags that crop up in making a show just like this. So I would think the job is safe for a little while yet.
Oh, well, that's a relief then. Thank you very much to Nigel Shadbolt, who is president of the British Computer Society and from the University of Southampton. Thanks, Nigel.
Thank you.
This is The Naked Scientist with Dr. Chris and Dr. Dave.